Hello, fantasy managers. Welcome back to another episode of the First Pitch Podcast on the Pitchless Podcast Network. My name is Carson Bigard. I'll be your host for this weekend edition of the pod. I am still sick, but feeling slightly better, if slightly different. So excuse my hacking later in the episode for sure. No beating around the bush, though. Let's get into everything baseball related from Friday, May 15th. We will start with a litany of injuries. A lot of news and stuff that's brand new and stuff that we've been expecting for a little bit. We'll start with Blake Snell, who, if you remember, made one start coming back from injury. He is going back on the AL, this time with loose bodies in his left elbow. That is the theme of the year. Loose body for absolutely everyone. He is likely to miss extended time. No exact timetable yet, but based on what we've seen, expect him maybe back by the All-Star break. After that, we're still going to see some recovery for Snell. Owners with Blake Snell, this is kind of what you were expecting anyway. Like a lot of just weird stuff. Still rough news. Max Fried, 15-day IL with a bone bruise. That's going to be what ends up happening, an elbow bone bruise for Fried. So for now, it doesn't seem like it's too severe, but we'll see. Clay Holmes, this is the big one here. Clay Holmes fractures his fibula off an 111-mile comebacker in the Subway Series today. Was not pitching tremendously well, but he will not be pitching at all for the next few months here. A fractured fibula, likely out several months. He will probably come back sometime this season. The exact timetable, of course, we do not know. But, I mean, we might be talking August or September. So a really devastating for the Mets, devastating for baseball, Clay Holmes. This is a really rough turn of events for, it's just the bad luck, especially with a comebacker. Moving on, Christian Yelich and Byron Buxton were scratched from their starts today. Chase Dolander goes to the 15-day IL. We reported on his injury a little bit earlier in the week with a right elbow strain. No word if that's going to be anything more severe, but he hits the IL regardless. And Matt Waldron is hitting the 15-day IL with a right upper arm injury. It's a muscle that's kind of right near the bicep, just under it. So it's effectively a bicep injury, but a different muscle that I don't remember the name of. Moving on, we have some rehab starts as we switch into some positive moves. Justin Verlander had a simulated outing, which is something I've seen more of, but I still don't quite understand what that means. He threw about 50 pitches in Comerica. Ryan Helsley threw for the first time since hitting the IL. Taj Bradley and Hunter Brown both had bullpen sessions, and now with some transactions, Logan Ohapi was activated yesterday. Coleman Crow recalled yesterday and made a start against Minnesota, and Casey Mize will be recalled and starting, or activated from the IL rather, and is starting today. So with that out of the way for the news and notes, we now move on to the hitters, and my top hitter of the day, I am saying, is going to be none other than Marlins and Twins legend Luis Arraez. He went 4-for-5, which is not terribly impressive for Arraez, this guy who does that all the time as a part of his game. But Luis Arraez hit a home run today. It's his first of the year, and for that, I am giving him props and giving him hitter of the day awards. Also, I just think he deserves some credit for this season, as he's really put in the work defensively. He's been like one of the better defensive second basemen in baseball. That doesn't matter for the hitters of the day in your lineups, but it does mean that he's been a lot better for the Giants. Raises his average to .317 on the year. He has had a really nice season thus far. Ilimar Vargas went 4-for-5 with a double. Honestly, could have and maybe should have been the hitter of the day, but he continues an excellent start for the Diamondbacks. Corbin Carroll, I almost said Coyotes, Diamondbacks. Corbin Carroll went 2-for-5 with a double today. And I believe a stolen base. Just another great day for Corbin Carroll. Michael Garcia went 0-for-6. With zero strikeouts, which is really rare. Three batted balls hit at 100 miles an hour or more in a lengthy game against Cardinals today. Baseball's weird, folks. Jordan Walker went 3-for-5 with a home run. Hit raises his average to .309, his OPS to .988. I'm telling you, we're now 44, 45 games into the season. This is the Jordan Walker year. Carson Kelly, 3-for-5 with a double. Ben Rice, 3-for-5 with a home run. Sedan Rafael went 2-for-3 with a walk and a stolen base. Jacob Marcy went 3-for-5 with a home run. Nice to see him start to heat up, or at least a little bit, have a good outing after a rough start to the year. Cedric Mullins. Yes, Cedric Mullins is being noted in the notable hitter section because he went 4-for-4 with a home run today with two bunts. It was one of the most hysterical hitting performances you will see. Two bunt singles and a home run and another ground ball single. Raises his OPS to .502, and he has a stolen base as well. Is he fantasy relevant? Absolutely not, but I had to talk about it because this is hilarious. JJ Blidé went 3-for-5 with the double today. He is just continuing to be fantastic for the Reds. Dalen Lyle went 3-for-4 with a home run and a double, continuing to be pretty dang good for the Nationals. Raises his OPS to 798. Gunnar Henderson, who's been floating around the Mendoza line, gives himself a little more leeway with a 2-for-5 performance today with a double. Bryce Harper went 4-for-5. He is quietly having an excellent start to the year at the plate. Kyle Schwarber, not so quietly having an excellent start to the year at the plate. 3-for-5 with a home run, a walk, and 5 RBI, including, I think, his 18th home run. He's well and above the he's well and ahead as the league leader. Brandon Lau went 2-for-5 with 2 home runs. O'Neill Cruz went 2-for-4, a walk, and a stolen base in what was just a wild Phillies and Pirates game. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. Fernando Tatis Jr. went 0-for-4. No strikeouts, but OPS drops below 600. I actually did my due diligence and I checked his game logs. It's the first time his OPS has dropped below 600, really, at any point, barring the first couple weeks of the year in his major league career. Any day now, we're going to see him produce. I swear to you, maybe a nice time to buy, or at least examine buying Tatis. Price may never be lower. Max Muncy for the Los Angeles Dodgers continues to have an excellent run of things. 2-for-3 with the walk and a home run. He's just been fantastic. And we'll round off this section with Nick Kurtz going 1-for-3 with a 3-run home run. Make sure you check out the Daily Batters Box article if you want to hear about all these hitters and then some, as we now transition over to our starters. And we will go for the pitcher of the day, which I am saying is going to be Merrill Kelly. Merrill Kelly got 7 whiffs. 3 strikeouts. Normally, that's not the kind of performance that you would expect to be the pitcher of the day, but in Coors Field, he went 9 innings, a complete game, 1 earned run, just 4 hits allowed, 3 Ks, no walks on 100 pitches. Kelly was efficient, got a lot of production out of his changeup, located really well. The stuff was, well, it's Merrill Kelly stuff, so it's not great, but he was able to just pitch effectively, and how much stock you want to put into that, that's up to you. But either way, you can't go a complete game without me mentioning it as the pitcher of the day, and especially in Coors Field. Like, that's just ridiculous. Spencer Arrighetti went 7 1/3 innings, no earned runs, 1 hit, 5 Ks, 4 walks. So he was a little erratic, but 102 pitches, got 12 whiffs, 31 CSW percent. The stuff is absolutely there, continues to be there. The locations continue to evade him a little bit. Jack Leiter dueled him today, and he dueled him very well. 7 innings of 1-run ball, 3 hits, 6 Ks, 3 walks on 98 pitches. A really solid outing for Leiter, who is, you know, I think rising in my personal ranks as guys to keep an eye on. Probably a good deeper league roster for sure. Braxton Ashcraft went 6 2/3 with 4 earned runs, 7 hits, 5 Ks, no walks on 100 pitches. This was an unfortunate outing because, honestly, he looked pretty good overall. It's a tough outing to face the Phillies. He was left in on the 7th, got knocked around a little bit, and surrendered the run to put him out of quality start range. Trey Savage got the most whiffs today, tied for the most whiffs of the day with 19. 6 innings of 2-run baseball, 4 hits, 6 Ks, 3 walks on 88 pitches. Looks pretty solid. Jansen Junk had a bizarre outing. 5 2/3, 7 earned runs, 10 hits, 4 Ks, 3 walks on 100 pitches. It's nice to see that they let him go the distance with 100 pitches, but, you know, this was just a really weird outing, and I just do not know what to do with Jansen Junk, how much confidence I want to have, because he had an A- PLV grade. You look at that stat line, you think it wasn't very solid, but it looks like overall the pitch modeling stuff still likes it. I don't know if this is a sequencing issue or a tipping issue or something like that, or maybe it's just baseball, but either or, I think he's worth rostering still. I really do believe so. Cam Schlittler had an excellent outing today, as he's just been having. 6 2/3 inning, 1 earned run, 2 hits, 9 Ks, 2 walks on 106 pitches, 19 whiffs, 38 CSW percent to top the gallows pole, and just a great outing. Overall, the locations were a little bit iffy. Really had that fastball sitting in around a shoulder height for much of the outing, but got the job done for sure. Spencer Strider had another outing that just makes me shake my fist. 5 1/3 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 4 Ks, 3 walks on 84 pitches, 16 whiffs, 36 CSW percent. Was it? That sounds amazing. Was it amazing? I'm not really sure. The grades are not fantastic. The stuff, the velocity is not the Spencer Strider that we knew from a few years ago. I'm still hesitant. He's still mainly a two-pitch pitcher. I just don't think I can put all my faith in him. Either way, it's a really nice outing, and he, if nothing else, can demonstrate that he can still get a lot of swings and misses. And we will round out the pitcher segment here by talking about Emerson Hancock, who went 6 innings, 1 earned run, 5 hits, 6 Ks, 1 walk on 92 pitches against the Padres today. 14 whiffs, 29 CSW at T-Mobile. It's a good outing for a pitcher that has really had an excellent year. He's continuing to perform. So that's going to be some of the notable performances from the day. Give the Pulse Pitch Podcast a listen and check out Nick's daily SP roundups. I'm sure you already do. If you want to know more about all these pitchers and then some, I'm going to take a short break, drink some of this water, and I'll be back with some relievers and my picks for the day in just a moment. All right, welcome back to the First Pitch Podcast here. We now move on to our relievers, and we have a lot of saves and a lot of holds to talk about in this full slate of Friday games. We will start with Trevor Miguel picking up his fifth save of the year against the Minnesota Twins. Abner Uribe picks up his fifth hold of the year. Orion Carcaring picks up his first save of the year for the Philadelphia Phillies in an elongated game against the Pirates. Anton picks up his save for the Reds. Three holds were in this one. Johnson, Santillan, and Burke collected their third, 10th, and 4th holds, respectively. Fernando Cruz got a hold for the Yankees, although they didn't get a save. Brian King picked up his first save of the year. Mason Miller picked up his 14th save of the year. Maury Hone and Adam picked up their 8th holds of the year, respectively. And Hoon Harris picked up his, I believe, his 4th save of the year for the A's. Kunal Suarez and Medina picks up their 3rd, 1st, and 2nd holds, respectively. We now go on to who blew it, and oh my goodness, how many people did blow it. Lucas Erceg blew it for the Kansas City Royals. Gregory Soto allowed 3 runs to blow it for the Pirates. And then Dennis Santana also allowed 3 runs, didn't even record an out. He did not technically get a blown save, Santana, but he is saddled with the loss. And again, this 11-9 crazy game between the Phillies and the Pirates, with just no one pitching well at all. Jeff Hoffman was saddled with the loss today. It makes me so frustrated when a guy that actually has a lot of nice qualities just doesn't do well. And I really want to believe in Hoffman more, but it just seems like he doesn't have it for whatever reason. Aaron Ashby has a blown save for Milwaukee, although it doesn't affect the final line. Andrew Morris does have a blown save for Minnesota. That one does affect the final line. Tyler Kinley has a blown save, and Jordan Hicks follows that with 4 runs allowed, not technically a blown save, but definitely had the game blown open in the crosstown rivalry in Chicago. Make sure you check out Rick Graham's weekly articles to know more about all these relievers and then some, as we now look forward to the slate of games for today, this Saturday. The full slate of games, it's an interesting one. Not a ton of aces on the mound, but a few to note. The top 3 pitching matchups, I have number 1, Philadelphia at Pittsburgh. It's Christopher Sanchez versus Bubba Chandler. This is going to be interesting. Sanchez, obviously a phenomenal pitcher, but can Chandler face a really star-studded Philadelphia lineup and just keep the walks down? We'll see. The Los Angeles Dodgers at the Los Angeles Angels have Jason Robleski versus Jose Soriano. This is something that's it's a regression ball part 2. Two pitchers that probably have either very inflated or quite inflated are overperforming. Let me put it that way. I have inflated. You know what I was getting at? You understand. You're smart. You're listening to this podcast. Of course you're smart. And my third pick of the day is going to be Boston at Atlanta. It's going to be Peyton Tolley versus Bryce Elder. Tolley, really excellent stuff. Really dynamic. Someone that I think I have a lot of confidence in. Bryce Elder, the exact opposite, with a lower ERA. How's he going to do? But my game of the day is, and I swear this isn't that biased, I do just think this pick is interesting. It's going to be the Milwaukee Brewers at the Minnesota Twins. Logan Anderson versus Connor Prelip. There are 2 young arms, 2 really interesting arms, 2 arms I think a lot of fantasy managers should be on the lookout for or just be aware of. No idea if Yelich and Buxton will be back for these games, but I think it's going to be an interesting one. And so that is going to be my pick for the day, and that is going to be the First Pitch Podcast for today. For a deeper dive on everything baseball, hop on to pitcherlist.com for further access. Sign up for PL Plus or PL Pro. If you sign up for PL Pro, you gain access to the PLV apps, and the Discord, supporting the Pitcherless staff. Finally, my name is Carson Picard. You can find me on Blue Sky at Carson Picard, and of course on the Shout Podcast with my great co-host Eric Henriksen. And thank you very much for listening. Have an excellent rest of your weekend, y'all. Good luck. Bless the knees, bless the elbows. Take care of yourselves. Have a good weekend.